Hallelujah. When we gathered here this morning, as a matter of fact, when we made the plans to be here, I can see Jesus making plans to come and to be present with us and to give us the desires of our heart in righteousness. For we gather together in the name of Jesus. That is in the nature of Jesus Christ. That is, if we gathered together for any other reason, if there was any little intention that was not good, that was not to come to get from Jesus Christ or to get His blessing. If somebody came, for instance, to hear says, and it wasn't to receive of the Lord, then it was not in the name of Jesus. So you find out why some people don't get blessings when we come together, because it came with a wrong intention. So the wrong intention would cancel out that scripture which says, when you come together in the name of Jesus, behold, I am there to bless and to do you good. So that if three people gather together in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Can you imagine wife and husband coming together in the name of Jesus at home? Can you imagine coming together with your children in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Can you imagine coming together in a congregation like this in the name of Jesus? When in the name of Jesus we come. Hallelujah. And if there be any impure intentions in us this morning, we pray that God would purify us right now so that we might be gathering in the name of Jesus and Jesus Christ be here with us. For anything else could drive the Spirit of God away. You understand? Anything else could prevent us meeting in the name of Jesus. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Therefore, every sin. Now listen to this. Kids, you listen to this. Every sin you committed up to this point will be forgiven in the name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Now, as I talk, I want you just to lay them before God, and in your hearts, just to say, "Thank you, Jesus. All my sins are forgiven." Amen. So, from the kids right up to the oldest one of us here, we are forgiven in the name of Jesus. We gather together in His name. Hallelujah. In His name. Then we stretch out further to those who are absent.
Hallelujah.
Over to our families at home. And say, "Lord Jesus Christ, you said whatever I ask you will do it. Forgive them of their sins in the name of Jesus." Hey, glory to God. Amen. Praise be to God. You see, so the name of Jesus doesn't mean the calling of a word.
Amen.
You know, don't you say, "Jesus, Jesus, 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 Jesus," and say, "Well, I got it because I called it 50 times. The name of Jesus is not the calling of a word. Hallelujah. It is a spiritual concept of purity and nature. The nature of Jesus is holiness, purity, love. If we gather together in love, in purity, in holiness, you love everybody. What about that person who you just don't like? Hallelujah. What about that person who just rubs you the wrong way? Huh? Think about that person right now. Come on. You're thinking about that person. Maybe you have more than one. Amen. I say, "Lord Jesus Christ, forgive that person of her sins, of his sins, in the name of Jesus." Because you said, if we come together in the name of Jesus, whatever we ask, it shall be done. Okay? We're clearing the atmosphere, before the message. So then Jesus Christ, forgive that person of their sins. And forgive me of the sin of not liking that person. After all, a person might be a little bit obnoxious. But praise be to God. Hallelujah. You wouldn't withdraw from him or her because of that. Help them that they might be nice and pure and holy. So, in the name of Jesus, I forgive them. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I forgive them. Hallelujah. The Bible said that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. In other words, it's the nature of Jesus. It's the glory and the power and the love. See, and through the love of Jesus Christ in your heart, we will get every knee to bow to the Jesus Christ that is in us. Hallelujah. So in the name of Jesus, we gather together. We gather together. And thank you, Jesus, for every sacrifice that we sacrifice to be brought here. Thank you, Jesus. Are your hearts been lifted up in thanks? Thank you, Jesus, for every sacrifice, for every circumstance. Some of them were not pretty circumstances which brought us here. It's been working on us for some time. Amen. God will set a little trap for you some years ago so that you might be here this morning. Isn't that peculiar? Amen. Hallelujah. Loosen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And as we think about this, we think about the condition. Our condition. What do we want from Jesus Christ? We want our condition to be lifted. We want to be in a better position. Hallelujah. To serve God. We want to see Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't want to be so carnal in our thinking. You know, what strikes me and hurts me so much is the carnality that we have in us. And we seem to learn to live with it. You learn to live with your carnality. You like it. You didn't like it at first. When Jesus touched you first, you saw sin as exceedingly sinful. After a while, you can sit down and you can talk about somebody, and it doesn't hurt you. But when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost first, it hurt you deep down in here. Glory to God. This morning we want to talk about warfare in the holy place. The warfare that is going on in the holy place. And we want to see how we can handle that warfare. Praise be to God. You know, I like the children to get their paper and their pencils and whatever we put on the board, I'd like you to draw it. Amen. And see if you can explain it to somebody sometime. The next meeting, we get pencil and give the kids, and we lay them out on the floor there and let them relax and let them draw what we're talking about. Amen. Praise be to God. The warfare in the holy place is based upon this very point, these very points I'm pressing this morning. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." And it didn't mean that at the end of the age he would be with us no more. But it means that at the end of the age he'll be part of us completely. He doesn't have to be with us anymore. We and him are the same. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes you have a loved one, you feel like you love the person so much you'd like to get inside of them. You ever had that feeling?
Yes, this morning.
It's a spiritual feeling. Hallelujah. Amen. That is going to be accomplished when we get out there in the spirit. You know? I've heard people express that, oh God, what's going to happen in the new age to come? Are we going to lose our loved ones or close, beloved wives and husbands? Well, what's going to happen, you know? The answer is you're going to be nearer to them. Nearer than you could ever be in the natural. This here is a barrier to the nearness and the love that you feel. Hallelujah. When you clasp someone in your hand, you feel you could press them right into your heart. Well, you'll be able to. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise be to God Almighty. Hallelujah. The love that overcomes all things. You know, the love that overcomes all things. This is what we're coming into. into the light, more and more into the light of Jesus Christ. More and more we're losing our dark areas. And blessed be to God, as a little song said, we are the light. He said, ye are the light of the world. Hallelujah. We're changing. From darkness to shadowiness to light. Hallelujah. We are changing. And this is a process that we have to submit to. You know what I mean? If you don't allow the change, if you resist the change, then you'll change slower. Thank you, Jesus. You change, but change slower. And those who, you said, draw me and I will run after thee. When you feel a thing drawing you, don't stiff up yourself, but run towards where he's drawing you. Amen. Said, draw me, Jesus Christ. And the Songs of Solomon, draw me, beloved, and I will run after thee. Draw me, and I will run after thee, for thy love is sweeter than wine. Amen. Glory to God Almighty. You feel the presence of Jesus sitting in this congregation this morning with us. It is like sweeter than anything.
Amen.
That is sweet. Hallelujah. It's intoxicating, even more than wine. This is what God is saying, that the presence of Jesus Christ sitting with us this morning. You think of it, that Jesus had an appointment this morning. A divine appointment to be with us. Remember, he's in us. Hallelujah. He's in us. But he's not only in us, but with us. He has a divine appointment to be with us this morning. And he came along, and he sits down, and he put up with all our weaknesses.
Amen.
Glory to God. And he's waiting for us.
You,
hallelujah. To come. To come in the spirit. Where we can get closer to him. And he's beckoning us. Come. And said, draw me, Jesus. I'm going to run. I want to run towards you. I run after you. For thy love is sweeter than wine. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So then this warfare in the holy place, let us consider where the holy place is. The holy place is in the mind. Can everybody see all right? Number one. I thought so. Praise be to God. Amen. Praise God. The holy place is in the mind. So there's a warfare in the mind. The holy place is in our emotions. And in our desires. And in our will to do. You ever got up and didn't feel the energy to read your Bible? You want to pray, but you don't feel the energy to pray. See, so therefore, we want to have a will to pray. A will that is stronger than the circumstances around us that would prevent us from praying. A will to pray. Hallelujah. That's number one, holy place. But is that where the holy place is just alone? It's got to be somewhere else. How did it get here? It had to be somewhere else before it came into here. So then we have the holy place in the congregation. Within and without. So there's a holy place congregation. In this congregation of the saints and the holy place, you have a holy place ministry. well, we could call it the fivefold. Fivefold ministry. That is, there is a table set of God for you. A table that God has set specifically for you. A table that you must not eat from. Because it's not your table. It's not your kind of meat. It's not your kind of drink. You understand? There's a table that has things that are contaminating to your spiritual system. And you should not eat from that table. But unfortunately, we get some of the books in the mail. Unfortunately, we look on television, we see some of it. Unfortunately, we go to these churches, we sit down and we eat. And this morning, I can tell you definitely, there are some churches I could go and sit down, and the pain would be in my stomach. And I would be upset, and I would be distressed, and my spirit would be burdened. Because the energy and the life that is coming from them is negative to me. I cannot feed at their table.
Amen.
The scripture speak about the table of devils. Amen. Many of us do not know that God has ordained a table for us where we might eat.
Thank you, Jesus.
And because we are not aware of it, we eat everywhere. We go to the contaminated tables that are offered to idols. Hallelujah. Many of the churches are worshiping idols because they worship they don't know not what. I heard someone this morning read that neither in this place nor in Mount Gerizim, but the time comes, said God, when true worshippers will worship God where? In spirit and in truth. Now, if you're singing a song and your spirit isn't being blessed or lifted up, or you don't have your mind and God, then you're not worshiping God. This morning, many people are going to look at football. Yes. And others have other things that they will do. Do you know it is better to go and look at football rather than to go to some churches this morning and worship the wrong God? Because you are participating in a worship that is not of God. And if you're not worshiping God, who are you worshiping? But he said the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. Keep away from worship that is not true worship.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, yes. Keep away from the false worship of other gods in other churches. Now, I'm not saying that because we gather together here that we are the only ones that worshiping God. That would be so stupid. It would be more than funny. You know what I mean? In other words, everywhere people are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. But mostly not in the places where they're supposed to be. For when you go to a place where a man's program is in effect, all right, you do so and so and you do so and so, and the choir sits there and the organ must play that certain tune that we have arranged from last Thursday, you know, and this one must bring forth the prophecy, and the other one must do so and so and so and so, you're not worshiping God. You're only worshiping God when the Holy Spirit is directing the worship and when God Almighty has come to your service to be with you. So there is a congregation of God, and there is a congregation of the holy place congregation. And there, the people of the holy place congregation are people who have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean that if you're not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can't be in the Holy Ghost congregation. Because that's where generally you go to get it. But, praise God. But the holy place people are the people who walk in the Spirit or are being taught to walk in the Spirit. I want you to notice that it said holy, holy place and Holy Spirit. You cannot be holy without the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that makes the church holy, for by nature we are not holy. Amen. Now, let's go on a little step further. We say, therefore, that there is a holy place congregation, and this holy place congregation is ministered to by a special spirit, by a special ministry.
Hallelujah.
That is, if God has not ordained men to the ministry of the holy place, they cannot minister to holy place people.
Oh,
did you understand that? That we have been listening to people who are not ministering to us. That we have been getting food from tables that are not our tables. How would you like to be getting an outer court feeding while you are pressing on in the holy place seeking to become like Jesus Christ? You need something stronger food. You know, you need stronger food. The men who participate and the women who participate in sports, strenuous sports, running, jumping, doing whatever it is, they have got to be fed on special food to give them energy to do what they're doing, or else they will be losers. Sometimes the difference between the winner and the loser is the food he eats. Amen. And this is what God is saying to us this morning, that there is a food for the bride in the holy place, and God calls it the wedding feast.
Woo, Lord, hallelujah.
Now, if you are expecting to come forth at midnight in the nature of Jesus Christ, how come you are found eating food out in the potluck area? I mean, you know, the word potluck is the we call it potluck, but it's really luck. Potluck. You may get it or you may not get it. You know, you may somebody. Sure. Somebody may drop a little Halloween sweets food inside of your pot. You may go out there and it may be all sweets. You know. So all sweets, all candies. And it's what people are feeding on in the spiritual areas. They're feeding on nice things. Oh, come, let's sing a beautiful song and let's dance. And they sing and they dance and they have a good time. And then, you know, praise be to God, they are entertained.
Amen.
But God is saying that there is a bride that must have special food.
Amen.
Because she must come forth at midnight and bring forth a son.
Hallelujah.
And thank she needs Lord. Strength for midnight. For at midnight, the mighty men are going to fail. At midnight, many who think they are the bride will find that they had no oil in their vessels. And they have to go out in the darkness to get oil when it's going to be rough business. It's going to be rough out there to get oil. Some will have to seal their testimony with their blood. Did you hear me?
Amen.
Brethren, we're talking about a warfare that is in the holy place. Now, we're not talking about warfare in the outer court. We're talking about a warfare in the holy place. Can you imagine when, for years I haven't used this little holder, and Lord said, take your holder with you for the chalk, because the chalk scratches me. Here's my holder. Now, let me draw the tabernacle for you again. This is the outer court, and this is the holy place, and this is the holy of holies. Now, we're talking about, therefore, this church in the holy place. And what then is to happen in the holy place? Remember, the holy place represents your mind. And the holy place represents your emotions and your will and your desire. That is, your whole soul is represented by the holy place. So when God talks about the holy place, he does not only mean a certain dimension of the church, but he also means a dimension of you as a human being. And in this place, there is warfare. And God is teaching us how to handle the warfare in this place. And he's also teaching us how to handle the warfare in the church system. See what I mean? Now, let us turn our Bibles. There is a scripture that's flashing before me. I think I'll know it when I see it. It's Romans 6. We check on Romans 6. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. It says here, verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're talking about a reckoning. An agreement. After you made the agreement of baptism with Jesus Christ, then you have to make a reckoning. You see, you cannot continuously to believe that sin dwells in you after you have made an agreement for the death of sin. Because what it means is that the more you receive the life of Jesus Christ in you, the more that life will kill the sin that is in you. So you have to actually reckon it dead. In other words, decide in your mind that this is it. Sin is dead in me. What do you call sin? You see, sin has two different meanings, or are different meanings to different people. Did you know that? Oh yes. Sin has different meanings to different people. One time sin was a transgression of the law. Everybody agree with that? But to you, is sin the transgression of the law?
No,
because you cannot transgress the law and still sin. You keep every law, but you sin because you didn't do what you should do. Follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, in other words, you didn't hate, but you forgot to love. I don't hate you. You don't even know the person. How could you hate them? But you forgot to love the person.
So it's counted sin unto you.
It's counted sin unto you. See, so, it might not be sin for you, for somebody this morning not to be here, because they had a choice. I could either be here or not be here. But for me to be not here would be sin. You see how simple it is? So when you meet with people who say they keep the law, they can keep the law and yet sin, because there was not a law frame that could make a man sinless. For if the law could make you sinless, Jesus wouldn't come. See, so what we're talking about here then is that we have a reckoning to be dead unto sin. Now remember, we're talking about the warfare in the holy place. The warfare in the holy place is a bombardment upon your mind. The bombardment that you receive on your mind. Crossing my wires here. Yeah. The bombardment upon your mind is one that you have to begin to look at very, very keenly. Let's take what I see before me, flash before me here. A bombardment on your mind to eat when you weren't hungry. You ever had that problem? Amen. Yeah, well, I'm glad I'm getting some response here. A bombardment to eat when you were not hungry. You didn't need it. Your body didn't need it. You ask yourself the question, why then should I eat if my body didn't need it? It is a bombardment on the mind. You know something? That I was dealing just a couple of days ago with a young man who was being demon wanted to take him over. Demon wanted to take him over. He said this devil would wake him up. He was fast asleep, and somebody comes and wakes him up and tell him must jump up and stand at attention, must run downstairs and do something, must come back up, and have him running up and down. And he says he thinks it's God. I said, man, you're joking. The Bible says that any spirit, this verse 16 here says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. That means that if you have authority over a person, see to it that you use your authority to get the person to obey the Spirit of God. Not to obey you, but to obey the Spirit of God. So that if you talk to a person about Jesus Christ, and the person gets to the stage where he's ready and willing, so how do I get this Jesus Christ? Immediately he gives you the authority to command him to submit to Jesus Christ. Following? And use your authority right away to get him to submit to Jesus Christ. When he submits to Jesus Christ, he comes under Romans 6:16. He becomes a servant of Jesus Christ. You see how simple it is? You know why it's that simple? Because the devil has had you on this very principle, running you up and down. So the moment you obey a spirit, if a hypnotist comes in here and he says he can hypnotize you, and you say you cannot hypnotize him, first thing you do, let him know he cannot and he will not hypnotize you. He says, all right, close your eyes. You say, I shall not. If you obey him, you get hypnotized. He takes charge of you. So it's a principle in the Word of God. And so to fight and to win in this area, you're going to have to reckon yourselves dead to sin. Thank you, Lord. Now somebody said, but isn't that a lie? Isn't that a lie? I am not dead to sin, then how come I am confessing that I am dead to sin? The Bible says that if you can see that which is not as though it were, then you can create that which you desire. Amen? Let's see if we can get it straight. The power of creation is with you. If you want this attache case, all you have got to do is to see the attache case as being yours by the power of God. And so, though this thing does not exist, you create it. God will send forth his angels and get someone to make it and then to bring it to you. Follow what I'm just outlining a principle. Because this principle is so, we are going to fight now with this weapon. In my mind, I am being tempted to eat when I don't need it. What then do you do? Remember, the Bible said, and ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Right? Now, if I am dead, I cannot be tempted. You ever seen them tempt a dead man? You can't tempt a dead man. If they're going to tempt you, you're going to have to desire. You're going to have to want to be tempted in order to be tempted. So when you say, Jesus Christ, I am dead in you, that means you are alive in me. The first thing God will do is alert you. Why do you eat? Why do you want to eat this? You know something? I'm bringing this analogy, this example. But while I'm bringing the example, I know that it definitely exists right in this room. Because that's what I saw. Somebody going to the refrigerator. See what I mean? So therefore, once you begin to submit that mind to the Word of God, I reckon myself dead. Hallelujah. I reckon myself dead in Christ. Once you see that, you immediately, hallelujah, reach to heaven by faith, and the weapon that you get will be resistance. And the Bible said, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Okay? Amen. Now, it's therefore the mind thinking of the Word. Give me a scripture for that.
Be transformed by the renewing
of your mind. But one more direct would be the one I'm thinking of is in your heart. No, something about the Word. The Word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's 119 Psalm. You see, thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. In other words, the Word of God is a weapon against the devils that would tempt you. See, so the mind therefore must accept the Word of God as being absolute. Now I want you to notice that how these people try to break down your faith and your belief in the Word of God. Some of the new translations you are reading, that is their intention. They intend to break down your faith and your belief in the Word of God. Now, isn't that peculiar? That a guy would write a Bible in order to break down your faith and your belief in the Word of God. But this is what they're doing. They said, oh, we're going to make it plainer. We're going to make it more modern. We're going to make you be able to understand it. And all their intention is to break down your faith in the absolute purity of the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. So we're talking then about the mind as being the chief battle area of the soul, the holy place battle area. This is the place that the Antichrist in our time is trying to put up his kingdom. Now many of you will say, but we have not seen the Antichrist. We don't know the Antichrist, but the Antichrist is right here, bombarding us with thoughts that are just slightly twisted. Just slightly twisted. Have you ever heard a prophecy that is wrong? A prophecy that is wrong is basically not very far from the prophecy that is right. Do you know that? A prophecy that is wrong, it will come on with truth and all of a sudden just twist you. One little twist. And that will cancel out everything else that you have got. See? So, to be deceived, we have to be submissive to something that is not basically dead on. So we're talking about the Word of God, therefore. So you ask me the question, what word should I believe? First of all, the Word of God is right. The Word of God is righteousness. It cannot be wrong. It cannot be sinful. It cannot be filthy, carnal. You know, I was looking at the PTL one morning, and here was Jim Baker reading from the Living Bible, and he read until he came to a part and said, he said, I can't say this over the television. The Bible he was reading. And he couldn't read it over the television. It was so rude and so out of order. And he couldn't read it over the television. He said, it's true anyhow. It's not true. If you can't read it out, it's not true. See? So what we're talking about then, therefore, is a bombardment that is coming upon the mind. The modern woman and the modern kids, what their concept of God, their concept of righteousness, their concept of church, their concept of holiness, their concept of a preacher, is all wrong. We are going to have to look to God now for the true concept of who God is. You see, we are being taught, a lot of the teaching that's going about is saying that God is love. God loves you so much, brother, he could never chastise. He loved humanity so much, he couldn't send you to hell. God couldn't have a hell. There is no hell. Things like that they are saying, because their concept of God is wrong. And where did we get our concept of God? From the Word of God. And that's where we should get our concept of God. And if the Word of God says there is a hell, then there is a hell. Amen. So praise be to God, it's not a matter of reason. So then, in the mind, remember now, in the mind you are going to reckon yourself dead. I have a covenant of debt with Jesus Christ, and his debt is my debt. Because I have him in me, I am going to be dead to sin also. So you see, in your actual life, you become alive to sin. You say, but God, I am dead to sin. How come I find this life and this desire in me? The desire is alien. It's not of God. It's contrary to everything you believe. Therefore, you apply to God. You said, God, destroy the power of this desire for sin in me. And you know what God does? He opens his vial and he pours out a little fire on top of you. Amen. And the fire begin to burn. I say, oh God, I'm burning. Let me out. Stop it. And he cuts it off. I say, but didn't you ask me to get sin out of you? Yes. Well, open the little vial again and pour out some more fire on you. And this is the way it is. That we are going to have to recognize and realize the hand of God in our circumstances, because the God uses his fire of tribulation, problems. Really, when the thing hits you, it doesn't look like God. But what? All things work together for good to them that love God. And whatever purgings come in your life, it is God working deliverance for you. So therefore, the mind is a main battleground. How you think. How you think. The world is full of sexuality. Everything is geared. You look on the television, the advertisements, you go out the street, you know, you see the advertisement. It's all geared towards one point. Hallelujah. Anybody knows why? Let me tell you. I'm going to quote your scripture. As a man thinketh in his heart, finish it for me. So is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. So if they want you to be a slave to the thinking of the world and to the sexuality of the world, what do? Bombard you with it. So they say, let us take the children. Because if we get them when they are children, we'll have them when they are older. Let's teach them in school a subject named sex. Let us teach them in school. Now the Bible shows that it is the responsibility of the parents to teach their children.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so they said no. It is the responsibility of the state to teach your children. Why are they so insistent upon this point? You know why? Hallelujah. When they get your children, they get a whole human being. Some of them don't even care anymore about you and us, because we are old. We soon pass away. We're too old. We pass them. But if they can get the children, they'll get the next generation. That's the way they calculate it. Therefore, your children need to be taught by you. And they need to be taught by you in such a way that they will be praise God. They will be canceling out the bombardment from the world that has been aimed at them through the day. When your kids come home in the evening, you have to find some time to find out what they learned at school today, and to find some time to see that they have the right concept of what they ought to learn, because there is a deliberate attack upon the mind. Let me tell you something, and I will catch the older people and tell them in their ears really what I mean. But your whole life is controlled through your thinking. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you get your kids to think pure thoughts, they are going to be pure. If you think pure thoughts, you're going to be pure. Your actions are going to be pure. There are certain things you mustn't think about. Oh, yes. There are certain things you have to do. Don't sit down hours before thinking about it. You must control your thinking. You must have Jesus Christ in your thinking. And the way to do it is to relate all things to the Word of God. Come on, let me explain to you what I mean. I was in an office where men were always talking rude jokes. They were always talking rude jokes. You ever been in an office? Any of you work in offices? Always. I mean, they poke jokes at you. They'll say things to make you hear and so on. They'll know you don't like it, but they'll be just carrying on. All right. And I asked God how to deal with this thing. You know, deal with it by pretending you don't hear it and all like that. But that's the way I was doing it. But God said, no, all right. He said, every time they talk a joke, you tell them where it is found in the Bible. And I remember I started with on them. On every joke they gave, they come bring it to my attention. I said, yes, that is like so and so in the Bible, you know, and so on. And they talk about the naked man that was streaking across a campus somewhere. So, and I said, oh yes, Jeremiah ran naked down the street too. And I said, everything, you must know the whole Bible, eh? Don't you? They stopped bringing their jokes to my attention. You see, because your mind is geared onto the Word of God, and everything that you see in life, though it would turn somebody else off, it turn you on. See what I mean? Your steering, your rudder is steered toward a certain point, and therefore nothing turns you to the wrong way because your mind is stayed on thee. Amen. Could we go over that scripture? He will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. That is, the Word of God must be planted in your mind. We have had a push among the brethren trying to get everybody have the tapes, the Bible tapes. And we have been giving you the Bible tapes. And we want every home to have the Bible tapes. And we want you to turn on that tape record and leave it running. Amen. With the Word of God. While you do your chores and your business, while the kids playing around, let the Word of God be going forth in the house. Hallelujah. Somebody is going to turn up with a scripture that they don't know where it came from. Where did I hear that scripture? Eh? Where did I hear that scripture? That's what's going to happen. You know why? It will be embedded in your subconscious. The Word of God is a barrier in the mind for the enemies attacking us with His Word. Do you notice what Satan is doing with the songs? The reason you're not supposed to listen to rock music is that the music is bad in itself, but the words are worse. The words are worshiping the devil. And God doesn't want you to listen to those words. You ever hate a song, hear this devil singing it, and you hate it, and next thing you find yourself humming something, and lo and behold, is the very song that you hate that you're humming. It's like a subliminal message. Many of you look at television and you don't know that they have a subliminal message in the television. Did you know that? Oh yes. You ever look at the news and you notice every time the news comes on, the coffee advertisements come on, and they'll hit one coffee advertisement 4, 5, 6 times during the news, because they know that mostly men come home and kick off their shoes and listen to the news. And every time the coffee advertisement come out, I make somebody said, oh, it's so good, I fill it to the rim or something else, and oh, and they drink the coffee, and every coffee drinker get a taste for coffee at that time. You see, underneath it, they have somebody saying, get yourself a cup of coffee, get yourself a cup of coffee, get yourself a cup of coffee. And in that one advertisement in that evening there, if they pay $500,000 for that advertisement, they make $5 million. Because so many billions and millions of cup of coffee go right in that time that wouldn't have been drunken before outside. And so the world is bombarding us. Oh yes, the world is bombarding us. And you go down the street and you look at the advertisements for clothes, right? And they will drape a certain clothes over, and they will lift up the mannequin, you know. They'll make the dress lift up a little above the knee. And here's a man going about his business down the street, and all of a sudden he sees a naked knee. And he takes that second look. Next thing, he takes his wife or his girlfriend to look at the dress. He's ready to buy it for them. The messages they send, you understand? It's mind to mind. A lot of things are being done to us spiritually that we don't take note of. You understand? It's mind to mind. It's the what we call the wisdom that comes from down here. See, it's sensual wisdom. Ha ha! Devilish wisdom. You hear me? They study how you are made. They study all your weaknesses. Don't think a man just go out in advertisement business and make a big success overnight for nothing. He studies every weakness that the people have. You see? And they not only study the weakness, but they create the weaknesses in people. Oh yes. They sit down and they concentrate on a whole area of people. And concentrate especially on the women. And they said, let the women do so and so. And let the women do so and so. And they bring in a certain style, and a certain style has a meaning. Like when they brought in the unisex style, the homosexual style. In past time, women prided in being feminine. I can't forget seeing women going down the road and they were just, you know, super feminine. Nowadays, women going down the road and they put on men's clothes and pants and dungarees, and they'd want to look masculine, they cut their hair short, and even in their faces, they're looking like men. How did that come about? Okay, I won't call names. Hallelujah. Okay, I won't call names. I suppose the time is coming when they're going to persecute us and some of the things that we do now, especially on tape. A certain fashion house is a homosexual house. The whole business is run by homosexuals. And they said, okay, let us make men look like women and women look like men. Let us create a unisex and to turn men off women and give them a greater desire after men. And women off men and give them a desire for women. And so they did. And so it was easier for a homosexual woman to be involved with another woman who is masculine looking. Amen. And so it was with the men. And the Bible has come to pass as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, so it is now. Don't let your children look unisex. Let the girls grow their hair and wear dresses, and let the boys wear pants and short hair. The reason is not only natural but spiritual. There are spirits that go after them when they look otherwise. Oh yes. And I catch a hold of the children and I'm telling them, you look like a little boy, you should look like a little girl. Go home and tell mommy you want to look like a little girl. Amen. Nobody will talk about these things, but it's dangerous. It's deadly. Believe you me, it's deadly. But because the people of God are not hearing from upstairs, they're hearing from downstairs. Their ears go up and turn down. It's crazy. But this is what I saw, you know. Praise God. You see? Yeah, I'll give you spirit pictures right away. The ears turn downstairs. And they are hearing from the world. And the Bible says that such wisdom cometh from beneath. And it's sensual. Devilish wisdom. To get you carnal. So, the mind then is a basis of warfare. And that's where the battle is either won or lost. Believe you me, it's from your mind. Now, you have some people live in their emotions. They hear with their emotions. They feel everything. And they act according to their feelings so that they don't think too much. They're on a lower level. Pardon me. This year is level number one. I'm talking about spiritual level now. And this is level number two, emotions level number two. Desires, will would be level number three. You understand? And emotions and desires would be level number four. Lower level. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through to you now. Let's see if you can make it, if you can understand. When I talk about level in this sense, I'm talking about what you would call, let's use a electrical term, frequency. This mind is on a higher frequency than any other part of your soul. The mind is on the frequency near to the spirit, so that the spirit and the mind can pull together, and the spirit can pull the mind a little higher. Hallelujah. Even as we're sitting here this morning, and Jesus Christ is in our midst, our mind is vibrating on a higher level than normally. Amen. But sometimes your mind comes down into your emotions. See? Your mind comes down into your emotions. Now, sometimes you have to do some things that are basically carnal. Right? And when you have to do it, you shouldn't have your emotions telling you how to do it, but your mind should deliberately think and make your emotions do it. Come on. Are you there with me?
Yeah.
Two different things. My emotions begin to move, terrible vibration, and then my mind becomes possessed with this emotional thing. And so my emotions are leading my mind. My feelings are leading my mind. Are you there?
Yes.
But, on the other hand, if I had to do this same thing, and I deliberately think and control the emotions, and let the emotions do what it has to do. It's different. It's different. So that you're not on a lower level, but you're controlling the lower level from the higher level. Especially when it is what the Spirit say you should do. You know, so the Spirit is controlling the mind, and the mind is controlling the emotions, and so the emotions are acting in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you a secret. You, things that are basically physical and natural, amen, they don't come from, hallelujah, the body. They come from the soul. I told her the day when I put my hand on a hot iron, and the hot iron burnt off, all burnt the finger to crisp, dark brown crisp finger. And I say, in the name of Jesus, I will not feel it. You know how a burn burns? I mean, it burns so. And I did not feel it. And I'm looking at my finger roasted completely, the whole of this gone. And I don't feel it. And I am rejoicing in the Spirit that the Spirit has completely overcome my nervous system so that I don't feel the burnt finger. And I run in with the finger to show Mavis, and when I do like this, there was no burn. It was completely gone. I was a little bit ashamed because I wanted to show her the burn. See. But praise be to God, I discovered that even our natural feelings come from the soul. And it can be controlled by the soul. And it should be controlled by the soul. And I'm going to have to make a special meeting with the married couples to talk to them about that control. That control. You know, praise be to God that God has created within you the power to control the soul. And that we should control our soul, not be taken. You see, the things out there, everything out there wants to take you. You ever want a motor car and decide to buy a car? And all the advertisements bombard you, and you don't know which one to buy. You ever been in that condition? Just a simple thing. You need a car. And everything begins to bombard you. And they said, this one is the best one, and that one is the best one, but this one is so-and-so, and that one is so-and-so, and all the while, the price has been lifted. And blessed be the God, if you don't have God with you to tell you what to buy, you don't know, you get the wrong car. One that doesn't suit your purpose at all. See? So, it's simple. A sister was in that condition, deliberate, desperate condition, and she came to me and asked me, help me to choose a car. And I said, okay, so you go then buy that car. But it wasn't flashy. See, the car that was going to serve her, give her service, was not flashy. It was not a sports car, and so on. So another brother came and tell her, you buy one like mine. And so she went and bought his. No good. You see, she bought a car and it was no good. They had to turn it in. Because it is the mind, the temptations. If you act according to your temptations, you're a loser. Praise be to God. Amen. Okay. So let's go on. Now, the desires are on a low level. I think that's the lowest human level that you can get. desires. Hunger, you must eat. Thirsty, you must drink. You know what I mean? And these things are low level. When Satan came to Jesus, he said, "You're hungry. 40 days you never eat." He said, "Command these stones to be made into bread. Make bread and eat bread." Now he is going to use spiritual power to supply his lowest desires, which is hunger. And Jesus turned to him and said, "The Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Get behind me, Satan." You know what that means? Have you ever thought of what it means? That this physical body was made, constructed of God to function upon two types of energy. To function upon spiritual energy as well as natural energy coming from food. You eat up that natural energy, it burns for 4 hours and you're deadly hungry again. See what I mean? So, God made us so that in the eternal living in our natural bodies, we will no longer be subject to food, to natural food, but we'll be drawing food from on high. And the soul must feed, and the soul can only feed on pure energy from above. And we have to learn how to feed on that. We can take that in another session. How to feed on Jesus Christ. He said, "Eat me. If any man eat me, he shall live forever. You must drink my blood and eat my flesh." And he was talking about the feeding of the soul. You get me? Now, but the desires, therefore, are basically a low thing. Never submit to your desires, but submit your desires to the Lord. "Lord, I want this book." Why do I want this book? Why do I want it? If it is not going to serve God, if it is not to worship God, if it is not to help you to serve God, I don't want it. So therefore you chain the desires to a spiritual principle that everything I desire must please God. Amen? And if it doesn't, because sometimes we have such strong desires, if it doesn't, recognize it right away and say, "Jesus Christ, I want this thing and I want it badly. If it's not to please you, wipe it out. Just wipe it out, Lord Jesus Christ." But go to him honestly and said, "I want it." You follow what I'm trying to say? We must submit our desires. Jesus Christ said, "Lord," he said, "let this cup pass from me, but," he said, "nevertheless, let your will be done." And so God said, "All right, my will be done. Go to the cross. I will finish the job at a later date." See? So praise be to God. We find, therefore, the warfare is in the holy place area. And so far, we have only dealt with the human holy place. We have not dealt with the other holy place. We can probably leave that for the next session. And we come in, we start dealing with the warfare in the church. You understand? And how Antichrist is setting up his kingdom. But you see, all the problems you're getting now in your mind, in your emotion, in your will, and your desire is that the devil wants to set up his kingdom there. What do we mean? The devil wants to make you a child of the devil. But he doesn't tell you that. He's just going to tell you that your world, you need to conform to the world. He just wants you to conform to the world. That's good enough for him. If you conform to the world, he's got you. And this is one of the problems that I'm having with the brethren. Because the brethren are saying, but we've been doing this from we were children. It doesn't make the difference. That is not the Holy Ghost. Now that you are no longer a child, now that you are getting matured in the Lord, you start to look to mature things and to listen to the Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost saying to me now? And this is where the church has failed. For all the children, all the people of God that I know, they submit to a great extent to the world. Submitting to the things of the world, you know something? There is a thought pattern that the world thinks. There's a thought pattern that the world thinks. And oh, that's right, that's reasonable, that's right. Yeah, it's just the world. Yeah, but it's not Jesus Christ. There's another thought pattern that Jesus thinks. And the Bible said that my thoughts are above your thoughts, as high as the heavens are above the earth. It's a different thinking. You understand what I'm saying? Surely we're going to have to find recreation for us and our children and our family. We have to find places to live, whatever. In all this, the devil has his hand deep down in every one of them. You have to find school for your children to go. You have to find the different ways that to do, the different professions they are to take. You have all that, and in every one of them the devil has his hand deep down in it. You're going to have to listen to upstairs and said, aha, so and so, let's go this way, and let's go turn that way, and let's go that way, and let's go that, because you are being led of the Spirit of God. See what I'm saying? The scripture says, he that's led of the Spirit of God are sons of God. So therefore, your will, the world. Now I'm going to close with this one. The world cuts down your will, not only to survive, but to fight. I was in a service two nights ago, and a sister came in and she had lost her will to fight. She came in and she sat before me. I saw her in the spirit. I began to minister to her, not by saying, I'm ministering to you now, nothing of the kind. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't even look at her. And she said, wait a minute, Spencer. She said, do you know I said those exact words when I was coming here? I might as well give up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look, brethren, the will to resist and the will to overcome and the will to fight comes from God. You said, then, you know, one of the problems, the peculiar things about losing your will to resist, is that you begin to argue and tell yourself, well, you know, it is quite godly and it is quite reasonable to be this and to be that way and so on and so. But when you examine the thing, everybody is doing that. And brethren, anything everybody is doing is not God. He said, the broad way to destruction, he said, many there be that go in there. If you are doing something that everybody is doing, look out. It's wrong. You don't even have to examine it. If everybody's doing it, it's wrong. It's like going out to find a restaurant to eat. You're going to a strange place. You want a restaurant to eat. You go to the one where all the cars are. You know it must be good food somewhere. And so many people wouldn't be there unless it's good food. Huh? But somebody opened a restaurant. He doesn't have a lot of people in it, and he get all his friends to park their cars. And the next thing, it's full. Wisdom from downstairs. Amen. See, the will to resist and to overcome comes from God. And the Bible says that if you desire to do God's will, He is going to give you it. So you have to use your desire to create the will. Huh? The moment you begin to desire God, and your insides begin to cry out for God, you look at the picture of Jesus Christ up there, and said, that's what I want to be. But then you have Hollywood over here. You know, I'm seeing things, really. I sat before you here, I'm seeing a lot of things. You know what I see? I see somebody look at something, whether it be on the television, on a show, or on a book, or wherever. I said, I like that. You look at the looks and you like the looks of her. You understand me? Okay. I'm going to give you a picture here. A certain woman on the television, she's a film star. I don't know her name. But she her head looks like somebody crazy. Right? And she always remind me of the Greek mythology with Saint Medusa, the Gorgon, with serpents in her head. See? You know who I'm talking about? It looks like okay. Well, I go around the street and you know what I see? I see people emulating the same style. Now I would think she looks crazy. She's always kind of crazy looking and behave crazy. You know what I mean? And I would say, my goodness, I would make my hair the opposite to that to get away from her style. But I see people emulating her style. You see what I mean? You know what happened? They look at her and said, I like it. I like how she looks. I want to look like that. And you find that different people will not only submit. It's your mind, you know. Your mind submit to what you see, and then you become. And the same spirits that attack that person begin to attack you because you look like the person. And so the spirits are setting up for themselves a spiritual dimension and making a kingdom for themselves. And we are translated from the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of God. We are kingdom of God people. We should, as we go mature, we begin to look like Jesus in our behavior and in our spirit and in our insides. You understand? Now, if you teach looks, as may say, all right, all of you must look like Mary Magdalene. If I start teaching looks, then you lose the point entirely. You lose the point. The people won't ever grow. Because what they'll do is just all of them look like Mary Magdalene. You see? But praise be to God. We need to begin to submit. You know, there's nobody near to you like you. You know every thought that you have. You know every vacillation, every evil thing that comes to your mind. And you can deal with it more than anybody else. And as a matter of fact, God don't want anybody else to deal with it. You're going to have to deal with it. So when you see Jesus and you like Jesus, I want to be like you, Jesus. Jesus begins to give you little hints on how to be like Him. And as the thing works inside, it comes outside. see. So praise be to God. We can pause here with the holy place within. Although, you know, we have just barely touched it. But we can pause here because it gives you the idea of how you be controlled from the mind, from the spirit mind. And if you have a few questions on that, we'll talk about that a little bit. You know, if you have any questions on that inward control. But it's absolutely necessary that the human man must come under control. One of the ways that you control yourself is learning to fast. Have food, see food, hungry, and not eat. And that is control. Praise God. Come on, don't shake your head. Say, come on, Vicky. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. A little grandson, when you tell him to do something and he doesn't want to do it, he says, he shakes the head, yes, but you know, I'm having a hard time. So you can do that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes. Any questions on the matter? Confine the questions to the subject. And praise God. Ask me. I'll Hallelujah. Yes, you must start somewhere. You see what I mean? And you don't have to start at the end. Most people want to start and win same time. See, so therefore they fall down, flat on their faces. You start little by little and start instituting a control from your mind, control your body. There was no problem that I had in life greater than the problem of loving to fight and not being able to lose. I couldn't lose. I had to win at all costs. I'd rather die or kill someone rather than to lose. All right? One day, then, I was faced with a terrible crisis. I was going to kill my beloved brother, and I did not want to, and I decided that I had to do something about it because it was death. And so I'm not going to hit you. And he came and he bam, 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 he fight, and I wouldn't, and I stood wet from top to my toes. My whole suit, I had on a black suit, white shirt, and I was completely wet and I wouldn't move. Do you know that the devil left me? The devil left me for 2 years. I never fought again. And it was an everyday thing. We had to fight every day. You had to find somebody to fight. See? And I learned a lesson. The Bible said if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. And I decided to make my mind overcome my emotions. And I said, this is not reasonable. I said, this body is mine. And if I don't want to fight, I shouldn't be forced to fight. Yeah. What is it? I didn't know anything about spirits. I didn't know it was a spirit that had me. But I resisted. And for 2 years, no fight. Praise God. Well, I wasn't saved. I wasn't saved. And after 2 years, the devil, he generally jumps on you. That's the way the devil does it. He jumps on you so hard that you... And so he got me one day when he made a man. He got a man. He got a man, a real devil man, to come and attack my little brother. Now, I couldn't stand that. I couldn't take it. I could take an attack against my own self. but I can't take an attack against my younger brother or my family. And so I just lost my cool. And God had to, that's the time that God intervened. When I held on the man to kill him, God lifted me out and put me down the street. And so I was translated by God while I was yet a sinner to save my life that day. So praise be to God. And then Jesus saved me after that. So I didn't have to.
Thank you.
Praise Jesus. Hallelujah.